ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् ॐ ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ॐ त्र्यम्बकैयजामहे सुगन्धिम् पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बन्धनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ॐ ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ॐ त्र्यम्बकैयजामहे सुगन्धिम् पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बन्धनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् सो ऐ थिंक वी स्टॉप द 8th वर्स मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः So we are seeing the Vibhuti Yogaha, the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. As I said, it's amazing. Every chapter has its own beauty. And Vibhuti Yogaha, as I said, when you appreciate everything as Ishvara, then which is Bhagavan's Vibhuti, glory. You know, how come the physical body, which is inert body, it's inert material product. The inert matter, inert material product, which is alive, which is active, like we are wondering about the Drobos, which is a part of artificial intelligence. Our physical body is a natural intelligence. You know, artificial intelligence, the human man-made is what? Robot. And Bhagavan made robots, we are all. Amazing. You have, there's a dead body and this body. What is the difference? The dead body is like a log of wood. And this body is alive, active, capable of speaking, hearing, seeing, knowing, smelling, tasting. Amazing. And so much of knowledge. And every mind is capable of knowing, understanding, entertaining emotions, experiencing pleasures, experiencing pains. This experience is possible. This possibility of making an inert alive and conscious, and through the conscious beings, so much of expressions. Somebody is able to sing well. The singing is possible because of the dead body cannot sing. However great the musician is, if the prana goes, dead body is like any other ordinary dead man's dead body. But as long as the prana is there, through that throat comes beautiful music. Through those fingers, get so many instruments are played. It's possible. And a scientist contributes for scientific discoveries. You know, every person, any expert in any field contributes so much. Where so much of knowledge is discovered within the realm of the matter, on all that expressions are through the physical form. And this, but it means the physical form is capable of involving itself in all the activities and come out with lots of discoveries. It's all purely because of the presence of live, conscious, sukshma. The live, conscious, sukshma by itself is jadam, becomes conscious and sentient because of the blessing of reality in the form of consciousness. Can you believe? Just the presence of consciousness, existence of consciousness, existence of this abstract, formless reality in the form of consciousness. enables the light, subtle matter, you know, function, enables subtle matter become sentient and conscious and function. And through subtle matter, even it's possible for the gross matter to be active. Otherwise, what is the difference between a piece of rock and your body? No difference. Promise. This is Bhagavan's glory. Okay? This is what Bhagavan's glory. And who cannot make the sun remain brilliant? You cannot make the wind blow. We cannot make anything do. And all these are happening. And all these natural phenomena around, which are all in their own way functional. The sun is how the sun should be. That is the function of the sun. The wind is how the wind should be. That is the function of the wind. Ocean is how the ocean should be. That is the function of the ocean. And all these phenomena contribute just by their presence for the abundance of for our well-being means, imagine every small thing is a thing but blessing of Bhagavan in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Therefore, that is why anything, everything which is wonderful is what? Bhagavan's Vibhuti. In fact, the whole Jagat is a wonder, which is Bhagavan's Vibhuti. The bifurcation in terms of knower and known is Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Then multiplication of these viewings, Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Their functions are Vibhuti, activities are Vibhuti. Experience of pain is also Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Experience of pleasure is Bhagavan's Vibhuti because it's possible. How anything which is made possible on the part of inert matter is Bhagavan's glory. Hope you understand what I really mean by that. This is the basic understanding behind the whole chapter here. So Vibhutihi is a beautiful feminine gender word which means Bhagavan's glory. That is why when you put the bhasma, which is called, bhasma in Sanskrit language means ash. The ash which you put on your forehead, we see it as Bhagavan's glory. Vibhuti prasadam. Go to temple, give Vibhuti prasadam. They don't call it bhasma. Bhasma is Sanskrit word for ash. We do not look at the ash as ash. Look at the ash as Bhagavan's prasadam. What does ash symbolize? Ash also, one of the manifestations of Bhagavan, the modified form of the any matter. Your physical body finally reduced to ashes, which is Bhagavan's Vibhuti. The reducibility is Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Imagine it doesn't get reduced, what will happen? Stinking all over. The reducibility is also Bhagavan's grace, Bhagavan's Vibhuti. See, we must see, now we may not appreciate it. The very subtle fact. Imagine if all these, suppose dead bodies are not reducible to ashes, what would happen? Thank God. So there's also Bhagavan's Vibhuti. It's a fact. That's why the whole 10th chapter, sir, we appreciate the entire experienceable gross universe as manifestation of knowledge. We do not see the gross matter, the total gross manifestation as just matter alone, inert matter. We look at, because there's no matter for us. Why? Matter is consciousness when you say a very thoughtfully made equation, the difficult equation, tough equation, because you're reducing the entire gross material universe, equating it to non-material consciousness. Not an easy joke. The whole material jagat is equated to consciousness means you're already negated the existence of the material universe, which means the non-substantial matter as a whole is non-substantial name and form. The substance of the matter itself is consciousness because it does not have independent existence of its own. It is mithya. Therefore, now what is this? You can't say it's an inert matter. The matter should be seen as manifestation of consciousness. Seeing the matter as manifestation of consciousness is seeing Ishwaraha, seeing Bhagavan. and seeing Bhagavan in the form of the manifest universe is what? Seeing everything as Bhagavan's glory. It's exactly like the illumined opaque things in the presence of the light. The illumined opaque things are reduced to reflections of light. There's no every opaque thing is not seen as an opaque thing. Every opaque thing which enjoys its existence only because of the presence of the light is seen as the reflection of light. What is opaque world of objects? The entire opaque world of objects is nothing but reflection of the only light. Similarly, the whole gross material universe is no more seen as the inert material universe. It is seen as the manifestation of consciousness because it doesn't have independent existence. When it is appreciated as the manifestation of knowledge, you call it Ishvara Bhagavan. Then Virat Ishvaraha Virat Vividham Rajate Iti Virat Vividham Rajate Iti Virat Vividham Bhati Iti Vibhu. Vibhu and Virat are two different names but meaning the same. Vividham Bhati Iti Vibhu. The one who alone is shining as everything in innumerable countless forms is a Vibhu. Vividam Rajate Iti Virat, the one who alone shines as everything is called Virat. Therefore, the whole Jagat, in that Virat, your body is included. And what is invisible, imperceptible also, the subtle matter also is manifestation of knowledge. There's no matter, only Bhagavan. Bhagavan is what? Manifestation of knowledge. There's no opaque, it's only reflection of light. Similarly, there's only manifestation of consciousness. The subtle universe also is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Which means, give a different name, Hiranyagarbha. Your mind is Hiranyagarbha. Your sense organs are Hiranyagarbha. Your digestion, your powers are Hiranyagarbha. All the functions that are happening in your Hiranyagarbha. Your digestion is Hiranyagarbha. Your respiration is Hiranyagarbha. Your circulation is Hiranyagarbha, which is yours? Where are you? Your circulation, your digestion, your respiration, your excretion, all functions are Bhagavan knowledge. Therefore, all Ishvara, which is yours? Where are you? Your body is Virat Bhagavan. Okay? This Bhagavan Virat Ishvara, which is yours? Your Antahkaranam is Bhagavan. Okay? Where are you? Which is yours? And what are you? You are also Bhagavan. Therefore, this is how we have to see. If you see, there is no I. There is no Jagat. There is only Bhagavan. This perspective change is also what? Seeing everything being Bhagavan is Jnanam. Which is Vibhuti. This is also Upasanam. Now, we'll let us go to the 10th chapter, here, the 9th verse. Machitta madgata pranaha bodhayantah parasparam kathayantas chamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Machitta madgata pranaha bodhayantah parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Machitta madgata pranah bodhayantah parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. So here, so when you appreciate everything, the devotee, who is a bhaktaha, another definition of bhakta is also given. But one who sees everything as Bhagavan is upasakaha. One who sees everything being already Bhagavan is jnani. Either a jnani bhaktaha or upasaka bhaktaha. There is no other bhakta, So here Krishna says here, this is the vibhuti. Okay. Machittaha. Machittaha means what? People whose minds are fixed in Bhagavan. Having one's mind fixed, mat chittaha means, whose chittam means mind, whose mind is in Bhagavan, whose mind is fixed in Bhagavan is said to be Bhagavat chittaha. We have a Vaishnavite saint called Vishnu Chitta. Vishnu Chitta means one whose mind was only in Vishnu. He's called Vishnu Chittaha. Like that, here, Bhagavat Chittaha, Ishwara Chittaha, is the one whose minds are fixed in Bhagavan, which means when you open your eyes, you see anything as Bhagavan. You hear anything as Bhagavan. Now you smell anything, everything as Bhagavan. You appreciate everything as Bhagavan, then your mind is fixed in Bhagavan. You cannot say anything other than Bhagavan here. That is Machittaha, those people whose minds are fixed in Bhagavan. Thereby what happens? Madgata pranaha. Madgata pranaha means, the word pranaha here does not mean just the pranaha. The pranaha here implies all the sense powers. All the powers of organs of actions, all the sense organs, all the pranas are also, mean the whole life. The person's life itself is fixed in Bhagavan. Madgata pranaha means, what are your sense organs focusing on? Bhagavan. Madgata pranaha, those who senses, see, mind, not only mind is fixed in me, once the attention of the mind is fixed in Bhagavan, where can the sense organs go? Four sense organs are dependent on the mind for them to go somewhere. The mind itself, no, I'm not coming, you go. The mind goes back, what can the sense organs do? It's amazing, interesting, isn't it? Sometimes, the mind cannot, sense organs cannot go independently leaving the mind with the support of the mind. Like suppose the mother goes, the children have to go behind mother. Like that, the mind goes, mind is fixed in Bhagavan, sense organs helplessly, they also remain fixed in Bhagavan. Madgata pranaha. The word prana in this context should be taken as senses. Madgata pranaha. Then, such people whose entire being is fixed in Bhagavan, sense organs are in Bhagavan, it means mind is in Bhagavan, sense organs cannot drag the mind towards anything else. Such people, parasparam bodhayantaha. Parasparam bodhayantaha means what now? Parasparam means mutually, one to one another. Paraha parasmai, paraha parasmai parasparam. One and one to one or mutually, one another, bodhayantaha, sharing, teaching, both sharing the knowledge or teaching one another. Bodhayantaha, teaching one another. I talk about Bhagavan to you, you must talk about Bhagavan to me, or other, everyone talk about Bhagavan to everybody else. It's called mutually teaching each other, mutually sharing the knowledge to each other. Parasparam bodhayantaha, kathayantaha, mam kathayantaha, no, kathayantaha. Kathayantaha again, shatruanta shabda only, like bodhayati, single present tense verb, bodhayati, bodhayataha, bodhayanti. What shatruanta shabda? Bodhayan, bodhayantau, bodhayantaha, takaranta shabda. Bodhayantaha, mutually, parasparam mutually bodhayantaha, sharing not the knowledge, teaching each other, mutually teaching each other. Kathayantaha, again, discussing, speaking about, talking about the Lord. What is the subject matter of your discussion? Bhagavan. What is that you are teaching each other? Bhagavan. Where are your sense organs? My sense organs focused in Bhagavan. Focus on Bhagavan. Where is your mind? My mind is fixed in Bhagavan. Okay. Then, nityam mam kathayantaha, always. This should become a kasya habit. Nityam means what? Not that you should leave all your work and sit and talk about Bhagavan. It doesn't mean. Here, the attitude must be such. When you, it needs a lot of tremendously subtle, sensitive, sensitized, refined mind to appreciate Bhagavan's vibhuti, everything being Bhagavan's vibhuti. This appreciation of everything being Bhagavan's vibhuti is dependent on sensitized, refined mind. If that is possible, then you cannot take your understanding cannot be erased. Not being able to erase the understanding, which is a fact. Why it can be erased? Because of fact. Therefore, always entertaining this appreciation of everything being Bhagavan is in fact having the mind fixed in Bhagavan. Not that sitting there all the time, I don't eat, I don't drink, I don't go to toilet, because I have to think all the time, I have to fix my mind in Bhagavan. That is not the meaning. What it means is, with the sensitized, refined mind, subtle mind, is very important. Appreciate. Appreciation is a very nice word. Appreciation of, it's not physical. Appreciation of everything being Bhagavan. It is there. You can never lose sight of everything being Bhagavan. Then what happens? Your mind is naturally fixed in Bhagavan. You might be doing so many things, but you can never lose sight of that fact of everything being Bhagavan. Other having the fix one's mind fixed in Bhagavan. That is there. The sense organs also naturally focused on Bhagavan. Not only that, then anything you talk about, suppose if you understand everything is Bhagavan, Vibhuti, everything is Bhagavan, what can you talk to anybody else? Whatever you know, naturally having the appreciation, and when you happen to teach, share other with other person also, it is definitely the sharing of, the mutual sharing of understanding of Bhagavan. Then, kathayantaha, mam kathayantaha nityam, always, you cannot talk about anything, you know, better than Bhagavan. So, always discussing, talking about Bhagavan, discussing about Bhagavan, you know, uttering the glories of Bhagavan, mutually sharing ajya of Bhagavan, you know, here, people, devotees who live, such people, tushyanti means their retreat, means they're satisfied. They revel. Ramanti, revel. They tushyanti, they feel contented. They feel absolutely satisfied. There's no people who have this appreciation cannot afford to have dissatisfaction, discontentment. They are absolutely contented. They are satisfied. It's a great sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. Thereby, they are reveling in the vision of Bhagavan being the whole. They're reveling in the vision of Bhagavan being the whole. He's not reveling in the vision of one's own Surupam being Atma. Is reveling in the vision of Bhagavan being the whole. So, Ramanti cha Machitta Madgata Pranaha Bodhayantav Parasparam Kathayantas cha Mam Nityam Tushyanti cha Ramanti cha. And what happens to such people who live their lives reveling in the vision of Bhagavan being the whole, enjoying the contentment of being able to see Bhagavan as being the whole, who only talk about Bhagavan always, who object matter of the talk is Bhagavan, who always mutually share each other the understanding of Bhagavan, whose sense organs are focused on Bhagavan, whose mind is fixed in Bhagavan, such people, what happened to them? Now, I told you already, it's not literally taken. It is actually really very subtle appreciation. That's why I started my class today with the understanding, matter is consciousness. This should be resolved. I did not go into details of how you are doing this equation. This is a fact. As I told you, how matter is non-substantial form and name, and the matter is the only consciousness is the only substance, and consciousness being Swarupam of the whole universe, being seen as the manifestation of knowledge is being seen as the Lord. There's no other Lord for us. Okay, and within this knowledge alone, there is order, and Bhagavan, who is the name of everything, is manifested, is the name of the order. If this appreciation is there, then your mind is fixed in Bhagavan, sense organs are focused on Bhagavan, your what you discuss, share with others also is about the Bhagavan. This is the teaching. Such what happened to such people, that is said here. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. See, when you appreciate everything as Bhagavan, this is only upasanam. You see everything as Bhagavan, that's fine, but how do you see yourself? No, I am, it's like Arjuna seeing himself outside of everything. Bhagavan Krishna, as we are going to see that later on, next 11th chapter. In Vishwarupa Darshanam, Krishna, Bhagavan shows his Vishwarupa Darshanam. Krishna sees everything in Bhagavan, Krishna. Arjuna sees everything in Krishna. But he sees himself outside of Krishna. That is why he got scared. He got frightened. Why? Dvitiyadi bayam bhavati. As long as you see yourself being separate from Bhagavan, still there'll be fear. I told this many times. And Yashoda, who saw Krishna, who also had Vishwarupa Darshanam, in Krishna's mouth, sitting in front of Krishna, Yashoda's house, when the boys came and fellow playmates came and complained to Yashoda, this fellow ate mud. And then she asked him, oh my God, she was like any other mother. Ask him to open the mouth. And this boy, little Krishna, opened his mouth, entire little mouth. My God, she had Vishwarupa Darshanam. She saw the Jagat. She saw the mountains. She saw the ocean. She saw the river. She saw the villages. She saw the trees. She saw the jungle. She saw everything. And she saw her own house. She saw the whole Gokulam. She saw her own house and she saw herself sitting in front of Krishna. She saw the Krishna himself in that. She saw herself sitting in front of Krishna. And in the Vishwarupa Darshanam, Yashoda included her. She did not exclude herself from the total. Therefore, Yashoda was not frightened. Arjuna got frightened because he saw himself outside. He did not see himself in that Vishwarupa. So seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan is what? Fearlessness. Seeing oneself from being separate from Bhagavan is fear. Anyway, so here, when you up in the beginning, you understand the body is known to me. So the body is not me. The body cannot exist by itself. It is part of the total gross matter. So that whole total gross matter is what Bhagavan manifestation of knowledge is Bhagavan. Similarly, you see your pranas, you see your mind, you see everything. Everything is part of its corresponding total. No wave can be by itself independently. Similarly, no individual body can exist by itself. No mind can exist independently by itself. They're all dependent on their corresponding total for their existence, which means the corresponding total is also what? Subtle matter and the gross matter. That thing doesn't exist outside of the knowledge because existence of matter presupposes the existence of knowledge. Existence presupposes knowledge. Therefore, existence of everything is existence of knowledge. Your existence is knowledge. Therefore, when you understand this much, you see everything as Ishvara Bhakti Upasanam. But when should this knowledge, when is this knowledge complete? When does it become complete? When you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. You see the whole Jagat being non-separate from Bhagavan, fine. You appreciate everything as Ishvara. I know all the T-series Bhagavan, but I do not know what that Bhagavan is, how that Bhagavan is. When you understand that Bhagavan Swarupam as your own Swarupam, you include yourself in that Bhagavan. That is the benefit Krishna is going to say in the Upasana Palam Jnanam. Upasana will prepare your mind for knowledge. That is said here. Look at this. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantite. Before I comment upon, I explain this verse. That is why, now you can appreciate in Vedanta Shastram. For us, meditation is a meditation, only Bhagavan is the object of your thought. Now, the repeated listening, understanding of the Shastram will help you live a life of meditation. After understanding this, what is then, aren't you meditative? If this knowledge comes to your mind, you're always meditative. That is why there's no special teaching of meditation Vedanta. Especially come and sit and practice meditation, we teach meditation. There's no such business, is not there. You learn this, repeatedly listen and listen and listen, you become meditative. We never, that's why people are always interested in knowing meditation, because people like this word meditation. And they feel, oh, something is not taught here. See, you understand object matter of the teaching, you will become meditative. Shastra, understanding object matter Shastram will convert you a meditative person. There's no meditation. We don't teach here meditation as such. Anyway, so here, let us go to other thing. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantite. Now Bhagavan says, tesham satata yuktanam priti purvakam bhajatam buddhi yogam dadami. Bhagavan says, for those people, tesham means for those people, the tesham is a possessive plural case. Even though it's possessive plural, the tesham is a possessive case form of the plural, for possessive case form of the pronoun. Okay? Te. Te, tan, taihi, like that. Tesham, possessive case, but it should be taken in the sense of fourth case. So tesham, it means of them. You take it as to them, for them. To those people, which people? To those devotees whose minds are sensitized, refined, who has the subtle appreciation of Bhagavan. Everything being Bhagavan, who appreciate everything as Bhagavan's glory. Such people whose minds are fixed in Bhagavan, whose sense organs are on Bhagavan, focus on Bhagavan, whose always share their understanding mutually about Bhagavan, and who discuss, talk about Bhagavan. Such people who always in a sense of contentment, who revel the vision of appreciation of Bhagavan being the whole. Such people or said to be satata yuktaha. Satata yuktaha means whose minds are ever steadfast in Bhagavan. Whose minds remain steadfast in Bhagavan ever, always. Earlier what has been said, the same, those devotees are again repeatedly mentioned here as satata yuktaha. Eppodum irivinidathile manam porundha petravargal. Satatam yoga yuktaha, Satata Yuktaha means those whose minds are ever fixed in Bhagavan, or who are steadfast in the appreciation of Bhagavan being the whole, everything being Bhagavan's glory, such people. And also, Preeti Purvakam Bhajatam. Now, because of their real appreciation of Bhagavan's glory, this is a real appreciation of Bhagavan's glory is what? Real, no? That really it invokes reverence for Bhagavan in the form of everything. So because of the real appreciation of Bhagavan, being everything being Bhagavan's glory, everything being Bhagavan, because of their great reverence for Bhagavan, okay, and they Preeti Purvakam. Preeti Purvakam means what now? No, with love. With love means with bhakti, with the devotion, the real devotion. Preeti Purvakam means with the real devotion. That Purvakam implies with. Preeti Purvakam, Bhakti Purvakam means with the devotion. Because Preetihi is a feminine gender word which means love. Preetihi, love. Preeti Purvakam means what? With love. With love means what? With devotion. Love for Bhagavan is devotion. But with Preeti Purvakam, with devotion, Bhajatam. And those people who worship. It's called with the proper appreciation of Bhagavan. That way with the real devotion for Bhagavan, people who worship Him, whose minds are ever steadfast in Bhagavan as the whole, such people, for them, I give. Bhagavan says, only for such people of such devotion, I give. What does Bhagavan give? Buddhi yogam, tam buddhi yogam dadami. I give them wisdom. Buddhi yogaha means jnanam. The word buddhi yogaha in some other context means karma yogaha. Buddhi yogaha is another expression for karma yogaha also. But here buddhi yogaha means jnanam. Buddhi yogam dadami means I bless them, I give them the wisdom. I give them the vision of my swarupam obtaining as their own swarupam. Bhagavan reveals His swarupam to them in the form of their own selves. Buddhi yogam dadami means I bless them with wisdom. And because of that vision, yena mam te upayanti. Upayanti means they reach. Yena, by which they reach me. What does it mean here? When Bhagavan reveals His swarupam to those devotees in the form of their own swarupam, they reach me means what? They physically do not reach Bhagavan. Cognitively, they see their own swarupam being Bhagavan. Their understanding, the recognition of their own swarupam, one's own swarupam, one's own essential nature, one's own truth of I being non-different from Bhagavan is what reaching Bhagavan. Recognizing oneself essentially being non-different from essential nature of the whole is what seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan is reaching Bhagavan. So initially they see everything else as Bhagavan. This because of their appreciation, even though they do not understand exactly, but what is the Bhagavan who alone is in the form of everything, and that appreciation upasanam gradually blesses them with much more refined mind. That where they're able to recognize the swarupam of the whole as one's own swarupam. Recognizing the swarupam of the whole as one's own swarupam is in fact cognitively reaching Bhagavan, becoming one with Bhagavan, seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan. I just love what I'm saying. I don't know how wise you see it. I enjoy myself. Okay. Yena mam upayanti. See, yanti means gachanti. Upayanti means what now? Go near. The reaching. Again, reach, go, all these things are, we have to understand, is not physical. In a cognitively seeing one, appreciating oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, one's own sorupam being Bhagavan is what? The truth of the whole is in fact reaching Bhagavan. This is a subtle teaching here, how upasanam, meditation, gradually sensitizes the mind much more, that it results in appreciation and attainment of the knowledge. Upasanam leads one to jnanam. They have the blessing of Bhagavan in the form of order that they're able to recognize that Bhagavan, the whole being, one's own Swarupam. Next verse. Teshame. This is the Jnana Prapti. So, Buddhi Yoga in this context should be understood as attainment of knowledge of Bhagavan being one's own self is Buddhi Yoga. Bhagavan says, I give them the vision. I give, bless them with the knowledge. Because of the which knowledge, they reach me. Means they become, they understand their oneness with me. Tesham evanukam partham. Tesham evanukam partham. Tesham evanukam partham. Aham ajnanajam tamaha. Nashayamyatma bhavastaha. Jnanadipena bhasvata. Teshamevanukam partham ahamajnanajam tamaha nashayamyatma bhavastaha. Jnanadipena bhasvata. It's beautiful. In this 11th verse, Krishna explains the word Buddhi Yoga. When he said earlier, I give Buddhi Yogam, I give those people knowledge, wisdom, I bless them with the knowledge, because in the wake of which they see themselves being non-separate from me. This is the, that he explains in this verse, what is Buddhi Yoga? What is Jnanam that Bhagavan blesses with? One with. What is the knowledge Bhagavan blesses one with? That is said in this verse. He says, Tesham Eva. For those people alone, Tesham Eva means Tesham for those people. Which people? People whose minds are fixed in me, whose hands are on me, who are all the time mutually discussing, teaching each other about me, who are talking about me, whose minds are, who are satisfied in appreciating me being everything, whose minds are reveling in the appreciation of Bhagavan being the whole. Such people அனகு நித்தியுக்தா ஹஜ் பீப்புள் ஃபார் தயர் சேக் தேஷாம் ஃபார் தெம் ஃபார் தயர் சேக் ஏவா மீன்ஸ் அலோன் ஃபார் தயர் சேக் அலோன் ஃபார் தயர் சேக் அலோன் ஃபார் தயர் சேக் அலோன் அனுகம்பார்த்தம் அனுகம்பா மீன்ஸ் கம்பாஷன் சி கம்பனம் மீன்ஸ் மூவிங் கம்பஹ மாஸ்குலின் நவுன் கம்பனம் நியூட்ரல் நவுன் மீன்ஸ் மூவ்மெண்ட் ஷேக்கிங் ட்ரெம்பிளிங் கம்பனம் மீன்ஸ் மூவ்மெண்ட் மூவிங் ஷேக்கிங் ட்ரெம்பிளிங் அனுகம்பஹ மீன்ஸ் மூவ்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் த மைண்ட் பிளீஸ் கம் இன் அனுகம்பார்த்தம் தேஷாம் ஏவ அனுகம்பார்த்தம் அனுகம்பா when you prefix add the anu it becomes the mental movement which is compassion please come in I swear I'm not enough fat bring more food தேஷாம் ஏவ அனுகம்பார்த்தம் because of the compassion அனுகம்பார்த்தம் for the sake of those people alone because of my compassion for them alone அனுகம்பார்த்தம் ஏவ அகம் நாசயாமி அகம் is in the first line நாசயாமி அகம் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் லைன் அகம் நாசயாமி ஐ டிஸ்ட்ராய் பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் மை கம்பாஷன் ஃபார் தோஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ ஆல்வேஸ் அப்ரிஷியேட் எவ்ரி திங் அஸ் மீ ஹூ அப்ரிஷியேட் எவ்ரி திங் அஸ் மை க்ளோரிஸ் ஹூஸ் மைண்ட்ஸ் ஆர் ஃபிக்ஸ்ட் இன் மீ அண்ட் சச் பீப்புள் தே ரியல் நோ ஃபார் ஐ ஃபார் தயர் சேக் அலோன் Because of my compassion for such devotees, aham nashayami, I destroy what? Ajnanajam tamaha. I destroy ignorance. I destroy the darkness of ignorance. I destroy the darkness born of ignorance. Usually, we liken darkness of ignorance, we can say. But here, I destroy the ignorance, darkness born of ignorance. What does it mean? In ignorance, ignorance is like darkness. When there is ignorance, there is darkness. Darkness means you do not appreciate the fact, not being able to appreciate the fact is as good as remaining covered in the darkness of ignorance. The darkness which covers, why there's covering? Avaranam, because of the ignorance. Ignorance is the darkness which covers means what? Which prevents one from seeing the fact of oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan. Seeing everything else being non-separate from Bhagavan. Seeing the oneness of the truth of Bhagavan. There are too many truths. The only truth which is Bhagavan. There's no Bhagavan other than the truth. This vision of the fact of Bhagavan being the only reality is now covered by the darkness born of ignorance. Now he says, I destroy that darkness born of ignorance. Aham ajnanajam tamaha nashayami. Ajnanajam tamaha nashayami. Okay, and where is this tamaha? He says, Atmabhavastaha. This darkness born of ignorance, which covers one's own real nature, which contributes for separation of oneself from Bhagavan, well, that ignorance covering the, which is like the dark, which prevents one from seeing the fact of fact, I destroy. And where is this? It is in the Atma. It is in one's own mind, one's own intellect. Here, Atma Bhavastaha. Atma Bhavastaha means obtaining in one's own intellect. The word Atma should not be taken as Atma. Atma should be taken as one's own. Bhavaha should be taken as one, the thought. Atma Bhavastaha means remaining. Atma Bhavastaha means obtaining in one's own intellect as the truth of one's own self. Obtaining in one's own antahkaranam as the very substance of the substantive knower, I. But here, intellect. Where is intellect? The intellect, there is, ajnanam is in the intellect. And that intellect, that ajnanam I destroy. Ajnanam which covers the, it's like a darkness which covers the fact of one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan. I destroy that ignorance in the intellect. When ignorance is destroyed, then what happens? One discovers one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan. In the light of knowledge, one sees clearly one's own sarupam being non-separate from Bhagavan. So Atma Bhavastaha, sorry, I said Atma Bhavastaha. Staha means the ignorance which is in the intellect. The word Atma there means intellect, and Bhavastaha means that which obtains in the intellect as the truth of, in the truth, in the thought, in the thought. And how? Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. Bhaswata, Bhaswan Jnana Deepaha. Bhas means effulgence. Bhaswan means effulgent light. So Bhaswata, again Bhaswat Shabda. Bhaswan, Bhaswantam, Bhaswata. By the shining effulgent light of knowledge, Jnana Deepaha, by the shining Bhaswata, by the shining Deepena, by the light, Jnana Deepena, by the light of knowledge. So, with a shining light of knowledge, with the shining light of knowledge, I destroy that darkness born of ignorance, obtaining in one's own intellect. Why do I do that? Because I'm a compassion for those two people. Why I'm compassionate towards them? Because they talk only about me, they discuss about me, they teach about me, their minds are fixed in me. Poor people always are hanging around me, not going anywhere else. Therefore, I'm compassionate towards them. This is called what? Not letting Bhagavan until he blesses us with wisdom. Pooja Swamiji used to say, you must be hanging around Bhagavan all the time. If you want something to get done, what do we do? You hang around the person again and again, go near, hang around. And repeatedly see, because he doesn't let you go near him. But you don't leave him ago. Okay? You hang around. Be there. Beg, ask. And at last, once him to get rid of you from there, Bhagavan will give you. Like that here also, Atma Bhava. That's why you say, Anukampena, Tesham Eva Anukampartham, Aham, Atma Bhavastam, Ajnanajam Tamaha, Vasuta Jnana Deepena Nashayami. I remove that darkness born of ignorance in the intellect with the light of the effulgence of the light of knowledge. The effulgent light of knowledge. What it says, again, is another promise here. See, if you are constantly appreciating the facts about Bhagavan in terms of glories revealed in the Shastram, that your effort of all the time repeatedly seeing the fact of everything being Bhagavan's glories revealed in the Shastram will not go waste. That should culminate in tapping Bhagavan's grace, Bhagavan's compassion. You have to win Bhagavan's heart. It's called winning Bhagavan's heart. Once you win Bhagavan's heart, you're tapping Bhagavan's grace and you have Bhagavan's compassion, then Bhagavan, what is not possible? Tapping Bhagavan's compassion is tapping Bhagavan's grace, for which you must work for it. How can you work for it? Study the Shastram. Through the Shastram, you do not know how Bhagavan is glorious. And you, with the help of the Shastram, repeatedly Shastram says everything is Bhagavan's glory, everything is Bhagavan's glory, everything is Bhagavan's glory. And start appreciating it, repeatedly see that how everything is Bhagavan's glory. If I have not created any of the things that is here, who has made it? I do not know who that is. I call him Bhagavan X. Bhagavan is X. Therefore, everything is Bhagavan's creation. Everything is, nobody has done anything here. Elements are not our creation. Elementals are not our creation. Plants are not our creation. Nothing in this world is our creation. Everything is, which means the unknown Bhagavan is X for us. So repeatedly appreciating Bhagavan's glories through the understanding of the Shastram is Upasanam, and which will help us tap Bhagavan's grace, win Bhagavan's heart, and tap Bhagavan's compassion, which will result in the blessing of the knowledge. So, Tesham eva anukampartham, for the sake of the compassion I have for them, my compassion for them, because of the compassion, my compassion for them, anukampartham, the artham means for the sake of the compassion I have for them, for the sake of those people, because of the compassion I have for them, ajna, atma bhavastaha ajnanajam tamaha aham nashayami. In word, atma bhavastam tamaha, not bhavastaha. Okay? Nashayami atma bhavastam. It must be atma bhavastam. Sorry. Atma bhavastam ajnanajam tamaha bhasvata jnanadipena aham nashayami. Because tamas is a neutral gender word. Therefore, it must be atma bhavastam tamaha. See, Bhagavan made it very clear. If the dark ignorance which is covering like the darkness should be removed, and thereby in the light of the effulgent light of knowledge, you have to see the fact of yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan and everything else being non-separate from Bhagavan, everything being Bhagavan, for which you need Bhagavan's grace. This is the teaching here. Now, Krishna finished, Arjuna starts here. I'm sorry, I will come take help you, Narayanaji. Okay, now, Arjuna's question comes. Ajay, you have any question here? Anybody else's question? Arjuna's question is going to come. Before that, you have a question. Yes,
it can I ask a quick question, please? It's a quick question.
Yeah.
In the 10th stanza, he uses the word tam buddhi yogam.
Yeah.
Why does he use the word tham? Tham means yeah, that.
Tham, yeah, doctor, tham is an objective case form of saha. Saha is a masculine gender third person singular pronoun. That person, that. It's a masculine gender pronoun and the objective case form is tham. Saha nominative, tham objective case. And here that pronoun actually indicates the buddhi yogaha. Buddhi yogaha is a masculine gender word, doctor. The word buddhi yogaha, which means wisdom, is a masculine gender word. Therefore, he used the tam buddhi yogam, means that wisdom. The tam qualifies the buddhi yogam. Tam buddhi yoga means that wisdom. Buddhi yogaha is the masculine gender word. Therefore, the pronoun qualifying that also is a masculine pronoun in second case.
So it doesn't mean there is more than one buddhi yoga kind of thing.
But the buddhi yogaha here means knowledge of the truth. Buddhi yogaha here means the wisdom, jnanam. So buddhi yogam dadami, the word buddhi yogaha in other context means karma yoga, the discipline of karma yoga. But here buddhi yogaha means knowledge. Tam buddhi yogam dadami means I bless him with the vision of the truth. I bless him with the wisdom. But buddhi yoga is one word, doctor. It's a compound word. See, buddhau yogaha buddhi yogaha. I bless him with the yogaha, it means knowledge. I bless him with the knowledge of the truth. I bless him with the knowledge in the very mind. Where does this knowledge take place? In the buddhi only. So the knowledge which rises in the buddhi is called buddhi yogaha. The word yogaha means knowledge in this context. The word yoga has different meanings in different contexts. And here the word yogaha means knowledge. Knowledge. And buddhi yogaha means the knowledge which rises in the form of a thought in the intellect is called buddhi yogaha, which is wisdom. And tam buddhi yoga means I give him that knowledge of the truth. Have you answered your question?
Got confused with the word tam.
That's what I said.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Andha jnanathai, how will you say in Tamil? Andha jnanathai avarku kodukiren. In Tamil, Samskritam, adai jnanathai kodukiren.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Tamungada anga adjective. The pronoun which qualifies the buddhi yogam. That knowledge. Tam yogam, that knowledge.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
இதுக்கு காரணம் வேற வந்துடும் எனக்கு. சாந்தமா காணும் இன்னைக்கு. That's why it's not coming. Okay. Now, Arjuna's question come. நிஷா பார்த்தா மலையாளம் வரும். அர்ஜுன உவாச்ச பரம் பிரம். Now, I was wondering why Arjuna is keeping quiet. He has to talk something. Now, Arjuna is coming with the question. பரம் பிரம்ம பரம் தாம பவித்ரம் பரமம் பவான். பரம் பிரம்ம பரம் தாம பவித்ரம் பரமம் பவான். புருஷம் சாஸ்வதம் திவ்யம் ஆதிதேவமஜம் விபும். Actually, we have to read both verses together. I'll try to do it a bit as much as possible and I will stop here. ஆஹுஸ்த்வாம் ரிஷயஸ் சர்வே தேவர்ஷிர் நாரதஸ்ததா அசிதோ தேவலோ வ்யாஸஹ ஸ்வயம் சைவ ப்ரவீஷிமே. பரம் ப்ரஹ்ம பரம் தாம பவித்ரம் பரமம் பவான். புருஷம் சாஸ்வதம் திவ்யம் ஆதிதேவமஜம் விபும். ahustvam rishayas sarve devarshir naradastatha asito devalo vyasah swayam chaiva bravishime sarvametadrutam manye. Third verse. Sarvametadrutam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidurdevana danavaha. Now we can see Arjuna's appreciation of Bhagavan. Bhagavan's glories. So Bhagavan talked about his own glories. Now Arjuna is going to express his appreciation of Bhagavan's glories. He first says, Bhavan. Bhavan means thou. T-H-O-U. See, the Tvam, second person singular pronoun Tvam. It is used for all three genders. Tvam Ramaha, Tvam Radni, Tvam Mangama, Tvam Lakshmi, Tvam Ajay. Okay, the Tvam is a second person singular pronoun which can be used to any person who is in front of you. Second person pronoun. It's a common for all three genders. But it is not of that, it's not that respectful expression. Neen. Whereas Bhavan, Tangal. Bhavan is a singular, second person singular pronoun, but still very respectful. Like in Hindi, they say aap instead of tu, isn't it? I don't know Hindi much. I'm completely novice, ignorant of Hindi language because I grew up in Tamil Nadu. I should reveal the whole jagat. I became a victim of Dravidian movement in Tamil Nadu. So I have to accept this fact. I don't know one word of Hindi. But still I can say this aap, one word I know. Now, that like that, Bhavan means tangal, dau. I do not know whether it's in English as a correct expression. Anyway, Bhavan is a very highly respectful expression. When we talk to elders or anybody in a conversation, we only use Bhavan, not Tvam. Tvam gacha. You can only tell a child like Shreya. But generally, it's better to talk to everybody, Bhavan and Bhavati. So it's more expressive, respectful expression. So, but here gender difference is that Bhavati, feminine gender word. Dau, Bhavati, Bhikshandehi. May you give me Bhiksha, please give me Bhiksha. Bhavati is a Strilinga Shabdaha, which means you, Dau, Tangal. So, Bhavan is a masculine gender word. And now Arjuna is addressing Krishna as what? Hey Krishna, Tvam. He didn't say Tvam. He thank God. Sometimes he is used to Tvam also. But in this context, he is using Bhavan. Bhavan, you, Krishna, the what? You are Parambrahma. You are the absolute reality. You are the absolute Lord. You are the ultimate reality. You are the absolute Lord of everything. Param Dhamma. Param Brahma. Param Dhamma. Must be called Param Dhamma. Dhamma means abode. And Param Dhamma. You are the only absolute abode. What does it mean? You are the absolute reality, therefore you alone are the abode of everything, which means everything enjoys its existence in you. You are the existence of everything, therefore you are the abode of everything. Nothing is located outside of you, therefore you are the abode of everything. Parandhama. Pavitram. Param, paramam pavitram. Paramam pavitram. See, parandhama, param brahma, paramam. Paramam, param mean the same. Adjective. To to adjust the meter, instead of using param, he used the word paramam. Paramam pavitram. Pavitram means you are the purity, you are the pure. Pavitram means pure, holy, divine. But here, paramam pavitram means you are the absolutely pure thing. You are the most exalted of all the pure things. You are the most exalted purity. Pavitram purifier. You are the most exalted supreme purifier. So that is three words is Arjuna's words. Arjuna says, you are Parambrahma, you are Parandhama, you are Paramam Pavitram. You are Paramam Pavitram. Now, next words, Arjuna tells how others call Krishna. Those three words are his own expressions. And he says, Rishayaha, Sarve Rishayaha Ahuhu. The second verse, he moves on from the word Bhavan to Tvam. Tvam Ahuhu. Unnai Solhirargal. They call you, Krishna. All these people call you. Who are the people? Sarve Rishayaha. All rishis, and not Manusha Rishiyaha, human rishis, and Deva rishis. There are rishis among devas. There are rishis among human beings. And Devarshihi Naradaha. Not all the seers, human he seers, also the Devarishi Narada, all of them, say, Ahuhu, they all say about you, Tvam, about you. What do they say? They say, you are Purushaha, Shashvataha Purushaha. You are the permanent. Shashvataha Purushaha. You are the only permanent truth. All pervasive permanent truth. Divyaha, you are the only effulgent truth. Adi Devaha, you are the first and the foremost of all the devas, all the phenomena here. You are the Ajaha, you are Ajam. They say that you are birthless, unborn, timeless truth. And Vibhu, they call you Vibhu. They say that you are the only all-pervasive, all appearances. You are the in the form of all appearance, all forms, Vibhu. So, all human rishis and Devarishi Naradaha, they say, they call you in this, they see you in this way. In this manner. Asitaha Devalaha Vyasaha Swayam Chaiva Bravishi. Now, so not only Devarishi Narada, Asitaha, Devalaha, Vyasaha, all these rishis also say the same thing about you. Not only Krishna, Swayam Chaiva Bravishi. You yourself tell me that. Is it clear? Swayam cha eva bravishi. You yourself tell me about yourself. All these devarishis, Narada, Vyasa, all these rishis also talk about you. All other human rishis also talk about you. What do they say? You are paramaha, pavitraha. Now this first his words. They say, you are Parandhama param brahma para pavitram paramam bhavan. So they call you like this. They see you like that. Shashvataha Purushaha Divyaha Adidevaha Ajaha Vibhu. This is how others see you. And you also talk about me, about you, like in this manner. It just talks, okay? I have to explain this. I'll do it in the next class. Arjuna Uvacha. As I said, Bhagavan finished talking about him. Now Arjuna is going to express his appreciation of Bhagavan's vibhutis. We'll see in the next class. I'll explain all these words again next class. Paramam Param Brahma Parandhama Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adideva Majam Vibhum Ahustvam Rishayas Sarve Devarshir Naradastatha Asito Devalo Vyasaha Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. I think I'll stop here.
The Swamiji, I had one question if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so somewhere it was mentioned today that God will bless you with the apperception of the knowledge in the mind. So, but still that is an object, isn't it, Swamiji? That's an object which, it's still something other than you, which is an object to you. So it's still temporary.
What is that knowledge?
The knowledge of the truth.
Of course.
Cognitive knowing also is a knowledge.
Yes. That is why, Ajay, knowledge of anything, object is also a thought which comes and goes. Knowledge of the subject is also what?
Thought.
The knowledge comes and goes. But the knowledge of the subject, once it rises, you know, then the benefit will be there. Knowledge will come and go. But after the knowledge, ajnanam is not there. Ignorance goes, isn't it? Knowledge of subject also is not thought only. That's why it's called akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Knowledge of anything and everything, including Bhagavan, including your own Swarupam, is what? Thought only. Knowledge rises in the form of a thought. In fact, only through thought you have to understand. In fact, thought should rise. That is how knowledge happens.
Okay.
It's called akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Akhanda akara vritti jnanam means knowledge of one's, the knowledge of the reality obtaining as one's own self, and which is actually of the nature of limitlessness, indivisible, or the divisionlessness. That's why akhanda vastu jnanam, akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Definitely is a thought only.
So that is brahmakara vritti.
Yeah. Brahmakara vritti, akhanda akara vritti is also vritti only. Knowledge of reality also has to take place in the form of a thought, and then that thought also will disappear.
Okay, with that understanding then, Swaminiji, so all the neuroses or the negative thoughts, those are also objects. So it becomes like intuitive then. Basically even that is Bhagavan. So it's total acceptance of akhandakara vritti also. Okay. And,
yeah, go ahead.
So it is total acceptance of akhandakara vritti also, and the neuroses which are arising in your mind, even that is Bhagavan. So even that is accepted as it is, isn't it?
No. Of course, what happens, Ajay? Everything is Bhagavan. That is true. Your jealousy is Bhagavan, your hatred is Bhagavan, anger is Bhagavan, fear is Bhagavan, pain is Bhagavan, pleasure is Bhagavan, suffering is Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan. But Bhagavan is not anything. Bhagavan is free from everything. When you see yourself being Bhagavan, you are also free from everything. But here, akhandakara vritti jnanam, when it rises, for that to rise, all those negative emotions must have been handled to some extent through the beginning of karma yoga. If you do not handle them, of course everything is Bhagavan. But for the knowledge to take place, you must have been handling those emotions by living life karma yoga, by living life dharma, values, and prayer, with the prayer, worship, etc. But what happens in the wake of the akhandakara vritti jnanam, the knowledge also becomes assimilated, gradually all these emotions will resolve. They're Bhagavan, of course, but they will resolve. They will not be triggered again. Of course, all the thoughts are, everything is Bhagavan. That doesn't mean that is why everything is Bhagavan.
So with that understanding, there is no resistance, basically. So normally the reaction is, if something negative thoughts come, negative feelings come, there is a natural reaction for resisting it. And that's where the battle is. So the acceptance of
that is why Shastra student need not resist it. That is why the whole teaching of Karma Yoga itself is not for you to resist them. It is for you to understand them. Okay? Big difference, Ajay. Thank God you asked me this question. You know, we are not supposed to, we cannot, we should not resist them. If you resist any of the negative thoughts, in fact, it's like it will burst out of you. It's exactly like suppressing your cough. When you suppress the cough, it will burst out of it. All these negative emotions, they are not meant for suppressing or doing anything. Resisting. Instead of resisting them, the Shastram helps you understand them. Thereby, Shastram helps you handle them, manage them. And being able, in order to be able to manage them alone, this way of life called the Karma Yoga, involving the commitment to live a life of dharma values, is emphasized. Karma Yoga involves this living a life of values. So consciously, when your focus is to live a life of values, all those negative emotions become managed, handled. They are not resolved. But when, by handling them, when you have such a degree of mental purification, and the Shastra study also helps you, you also take Bhagavan's grace, worship and prayer for meditative life, helps you handle them. Gradually, when you are blessed with the vision of the true Bhagavan, in the wake of the knowledge, you do not need to handle them. They will be resolved for good, non-triggerably resolved. This is the glory of knowledge again. This is called Jivan Mukti. When you are able to, without requiring to handle them, when they resolve for good, they freedom from the hold of emotions, which is Muktihi, Mokshaha. There no more disturbance caused by them. Shastram does not tell to resist at all. If anybody teaches you to resist, that is the Maha worst teaching. You should not resist them. At the same time, oh, I should not resist them. They're all very natural. I can't let them govern me also. I can't let them manage me. You have to handle them. If you don't resist them, they will definitely try to manage you. But you should not resist them also. Without resisting them, without allowing them to manage me, how should I handle them? That is it. That is why Karma Yoga is taught. Commitment to the life of Dharma is taught. That is why prayer is taught. That is why worship is taught. All these things are for what? Handling them. When you are committed to live a life of values worshipfully and also sincere, serious prayer. Oh Lord, I don't know what is right and wrong. Bless me not if right and wrong. Bless me with a strong will to do the right, not to do the wrong. This intense, fervent prayer is to seek Bhagavan's help, understanding your helplessness of not being able to handle your emotions. Then Bhagavan's grace, of Karma Yoga, the Ishwarapana Buddhihi, Prasada Buddhihi, and your commitment to live life of Dharma values, all of them help you manage your emotions, handle your emotions. You manage them. Don't resist them. Managing is different from resisting them. Then once you're managing, that will also gradually bless you, tap Bhagavan's grace, so that you have, once you have jnanam, and you don't need to manage them, because they'll be resolved for good in jnanam.
Yeah.
Which is itself is what? Freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying. It's acceptance rather than resistance. Because of in the wake of knowledge, acceptance happens.
No. In the wake of knowledge, don't accept them. There is the way, of course, even before the wake of knowledge, acceptance is there. Acceptance, accepting them as something natural is okay, but not allowing them to manage you. So that you are handling them, that is very important, because you're conscious of them, that they are their being. But acceptance, often not, don't need to accept them, because they will resolve. When not become assimilated, they will resolve.
Yeah.
Acceptance happens even before jnanam. Oh, there is anger on my part. I accept it. At the same time, I don't allow it to manage me. I don't allow it to cause damage. Before jnanam, I accept it as yes, okay. Even before jnanam, there's acceptance. What else can you do?
That's true.
What else can you do? Swamiji asked, what else can you do? To not accept them, what else can you do? So acceptance, okay. The problem is, acceptance with understanding will enable you manage them, handle them. Acceptance without understanding them, and again you try, they'll be helplessly, you try to resist them, or they will manage you. When they manage you, and they make you a slave, that is when we go against dharma, we hurt, and a lot of damage, relationship and all that.
Yeah, Swamiji, could you just please elaborate on this knowledge occurring, cognitively understanding the knowledge occurring in the mind, the benefits of that? You started it, but it got cut in between. So the brahmakara or the vritti of the knowledge, the cognitive understanding of the...
Again, I want to tell you one thing, Ajay. When you say akandakar vritti jnanam and all, of course your understanding happens. It's not a flash of light. It is brahmakara vritti jnanam. You see, every day you understand vritti jnanam happens. Of course there will be time in some other class, especially I'll explain only, I'll talk about the unfold the nature of reality alone. That time you do entertain akandakara vritti. That's jnanam. But what happens? There's not the assimilation. Again, the more repeatedly when you hear, repeatedly when you're focusing attention on that, the nature, that is how gradually enhances. That's why this spiritual wisdom, the self-knowledge, is something gradually enhancing. It is not an event happening on one particular day at one particular time. It is not a flash, like a flash of light. Suddenly something happens. No. It's always gradually enhancing clarity. Akandakara vritti jnanam. It does happen every time when clearly, step by step, systematically, you are taken from the gross to the subtle to subtle, subtle to subtlest of the realities, and the nature of reality are helped to see with the help of the shastram, and you are seeing. And when you're seeing means, then knowledge takes place, that jnanam is akandakara vritti jnanam. But the jnanam has to become assimilated. For that is why contemplation is recommended again after that. You're still in the process of shravanam only. There'll be a time, nidhyasana will happen naturally. Then, repeatedly dwelling upon, repeatedly listening, always your understanding of the teaching gets enhanced. Means gradual enhancement of clarity. Atma jnanam is in the form of gradual enhancement of clarity. It is not a particular event happening on a given day at a given time in a given place.
Swaminiji?
Yeah?
I got one question. Because we are talking about acceptance. There is a difference between accepting a negative thought and managing the negative thought. So what we are saying is we have to manage the negative thought and not accept it, right?
No. See, acceptance is a choice. Whether you accept it, you don't accept it, you're accepting it. You're accepting it. Only after accepting it, you have to manage. We're not accepting it means what? It's called resistance. You're accepting the thought. Okay, jealousy comes, hatred comes, anger comes. My God, I don't want this thought. I don't want to have this here. You can't resist it. It comes naturally because you are not creating your thoughts. Anger comes. You are not creating your thoughts. Very natural. So, what you do, you are not creating it. You can't undo it. You can't push aside it. Nobody can share it. Take it. What choice do you have? Acceptance. But with the understanding when you accept it, helplessly when you accept it, with understanding, then you always try to resist. Otherwise, you become a slave of it. Helplessly. Choicelessly. But Shastra study helps you understand your negative emotions also. Then you accept it. At the same time, Shastram teaches you how to manage them. And once with the help of the Shastram, accepting them and understanding them in the light of the teaching, then you try to handle them also. Then you can escape the disturbances, avoid the disturbances, and gradually your focus is in the Shastram. So it also, the more and more you understand, the more enhanced clarity you have, the more joy you have. And finally, when the knowledge becomes assimilated, after Nididhyasana for a length of time, the knowledge becomes ascertained, assimilated, then it need not be assimilated anymore, which means no more your objectivity is such that you're not afflicted by external situation anymore. That is when jnanam, you can understand the, you can measure the strength of your knowledge only based on with the scale of how external situations affect you. We're not afflicted means you're objective, which means the knowledge has served its purpose. That is the benefit of knowledge. That is how you see your Jivan Mukti. Yourself being free from bondage. I think I have given a very good answer, I think.
Yes, Mali, thank you.
Okay, we will talk again. I always think, I don't think I give a wrong answer. I see very clearly what I'm saying. Maybe sometimes I'm very fast in my expressions. So, okay, definitely please bring your more questions, think about it, and bring the questions. Thank Ajay, you always ask good questions. It's good, I can come back. I'll answer your questions next class. Now I have to go, okay?
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you all. My prayers for all of you. May Bhagavati, Parashakti, Jaganmata, Mahalakshmi bless all of you with all, first of all, Arogya Lakshmi. May Mahalakshmi bless you all with Arogya Lakshmi. Then Artha Lakshmi, Dhana Lakshmi, Dhanya Lakshmi. All Lakshmis are available now specifically for Arogya Lakshmi. Okay? Bhagavati, Parashakti bless you all with a very good, perfect health. That all Lakshmi in the Pashakti, you know, Corona, Dure, Tishtatu, Dure, Gachatu, Corona also resolve in Bhagavati Parashakti. Okay? Om.
Thank you, Swami.
Thanks, Swaminiji. Thanks, Swaminiji.
Sarvarupamayi Devi, Sarvam Devi Mayam Jagat, Atoham Vishwarupam Tam, Namami Parameshwari.